Well, grace and peace in the name of God the Creator and Christ the Redeemer. Now, I don't want to start on too sad of a note today, but I wanted you to think for a moment. If you were to say goodbye to the people you love, and you knew that you weren't coming back, as we see in our gospel narrative today with Jesus, what words would you use? What things would you want to tell those whom you love dearly? What stories would you want to recall while they were still with you? What memories would you think of yourself that were most important? Aside from our gospel narrative and the lessons it offers, it might be poignant for us to think about that because the answers that come might remind us of what truly is important in this life and what's not important. I think the sad reality is we so often get wrapped up in the things that really don't matter and would not come up at all if we had just a few moments or one evening to say goodbye to the ones we love. So it offers a bit of perhaps perspective on what truly matters in this life. So let's turn to the gospel narrative and why that first question matters to us today. Well, this continues. I know it feels like we've been in it for a while. We have. It's a long conversation. What is known as Jesus' farewell discourse. Again, he is saying goodbye. It's simple as that. He's saying goodbye to his disciples, but he's also sharing with them sort of nuggets about what he expects of them while he is gone, how they ought to carry on the ministry that he has begun, as well as the powerful clues to what he will accomplish through his death upon the cross, his resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that we really have to look at carefully here is, what is this Holy Spirit? Now, I know we can come up with all kinds of images. I could bring the ice cube and show you how water is both ice and water at the same time. And that's how we get the idea of the Trinitarian model where there's both the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But perhaps it might be more helpful, given our text today, to just talk about what the Holy Spirit is, because Jesus is fairly specific, actually, about the role that it will play between his absence and making sure the disciples still feel his presence in their lives. So first of all, we look at that word, that phrase, he'll give you another advocate. What does that mean to advocate for someone to be their guide, but also be their protector? A lot of times when we use that word advocate, we think of, well, just an easy example I can think of is if you're in the hospital, you know, someone who's your advocate, someone who's there to listen to the doctors and nurses, to write down things and hear things, to make decisions for you, perhaps, to make sure that you get the best care possible. In the bigger scheme of things, we, as Christians who believe in God's justice, advocate for justice in the world. We advocate for the poor. We advocate for racial equality, for the end of violence of any form, and for all kinds of different things that come up when it comes to speaking out for God's justice and what it means to be disciples in this world. But at the most basic level, an advocate is exactly what we talked about when we talked to the kids today in our children's sermon and reflected on that phrase from that beautiful song that Josh offered, "What a friend we have in Jesus." An advocate is a friend. You know, if you're in the hospital and someone is advocating for you, it means they're sitting there with you. Only a small percentage of the time are they actually advocating for you as far as talking to doctors and nurses. I bet maybe a tenth of the time they actually are making decisions and hearing information. The rest of the time they're sitting there. No one comes in. It's just you and them sitting there, perhaps in silence or having conversation or reading books together or watching TV, listening to music, maybe reading scripture and having devotions, or just sharing of yourselves one to one another. Now, I know many of you have done that for loved ones, but I also know many of you have done it for friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, within our church and in our community. And that in and of itself is beautiful. So what is the advocate in light of what Jesus is saying to his disciples? Well, Jesus is trying to assure them that even though he is leaving this world, and we all know the story, that he is going to leave this world in physical presence, that they will always have a connection to him. That advocate is like a bridge between this world and the next. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to know the presence of Jesus. When we gather, for instance, and let me make a very clear point. Just because we are not sitting in church physically right now does not mean we are not gathered. When you hear this sermon and the prayers, and you all participate at your different times, you are gathered in spirit. And I really believe that Jesus is in the midst of that gathering, whether it be one or two or your whole family, but collectively, all of us together are gathered in his presence. Now, I know gathering has a very different connotation right now, but that doesn't mean that Jesus is not there. So Jesus was reminding them that whether or not he was with them does not matter, because he would always be with them. It says here, you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you, right? This connection of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the truth that comes from it. And the most beautiful phrase of all, perhaps, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now, I don't know what words some of you have shared with those who you have said goodbye to and lost in this world, but how powerful are those words that might come from that person that says, I'll always be with you in spirit. That through our link and through our faith, we will not be saying goodbye, but for a moment. Because one day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this advocate, and that bridge to the eternal, paid for by the love of God, we will be together again. Now, another part, I want to step away from this for a minute and say another part of the role of advocate that I believe Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples is the fact that no matter how hard life will get for them, and if you read your history, and we heard Jesus' own words, right? It didn't go so well for the disciples. Torture, imprisonment, death, terrible ways, just terrible oppression that they experienced, as well as the early church family and community. It was not Skittles and rainbows by any stretch of the word. But that being said, Jesus helps us to understand the world differently. He said himself that his kingdom is not of this world, and therefore we are not entirely of this world. We are present in it. We live in it. We have a sojourn adventure here, but it does not define who we are. Because as he says there, but you will see me because I live and you also will live. Well, he is living in the eternal, and so we are living right now in this place in a mysterious way in the eternal as well. We just have not earned that inheritance. We've not earned our rest just yet. We're still working towards that end. We're not done yet. But simply put, one of the things Jesus is trying to do is very, what the phrases we use, very pastoral. I like to use the phrase very loving. He's trying to comfort his friends, his disciples, by reminding them that they never have to be afraid of being alone. Because through this advocate, this Holy Spirit who will be with us forever, he is also with us forever because they are connected. You know him because he abides with you. Remember that phrase, abide, is not just hanging out for drinks one night. It's a deeper connection that cannot be separated between us and Jesus. And because of that connection also, our creator of this world. I'd like to think of it this way. Jesus helps us to see the good in bad situations. Well, isn't that a timely task indeed? A timely skill. If we can see the good in dark places, in difficult times, that is a powerful gift indeed. Now, this is not some sort of, you know, denial of truth or false joy. I'm not talking about that. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to mourn whenever you've gone through difficult times. But this is also being able to see within a difficult time or a real profound loss, moments of what I like to call grace. Little threads, perhaps. But those threads, when put together, weave us into this powerful tapestry of God's love that keeps us together, keeps us from coming too frayed on the edges and falling apart. Now, I remember a story. I want to share a story with you. And this is not a deep story about a profound loss or anything. It's a more lighter story, but it gets the point across, I hope, about making good out of a bad situation. One time when I was a teenager, my father and I, my dad and I went camping. And we didn't get to go camping a lot, you know, just like any other family. We were busy with work and school and all that. But we did take the time to do things together. And one time we looked forward to camping up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Now, just give you a backdrop. This camping trip came on the edges of one of the longest droughts that we had ever had in the history of that part of Northern California. And of course, as our luck would have it, the drought seemed to end the weekend that we were camping. I mean, it rained Noah-style rain for 40 days, it felt like, and 40 nights during our times in the mountains. You know, we're hunkered down in tents. For those of you kids that never heard of them, they're these material things with poles that people sleep in at night. I know that there's a lot of RVs that roll around that have flat screens and all that kind of stuff, but many of us didn't have those growing up, and many of us don't have them now, and we grew up in what was called a tent. You should stick one in the backyard tonight and enjoy it. It's really a lot of fun. And so we're in this tent, and as you know, anyone that has done tent camping, which most of us over the age of a certain age have definitely done that, whether we liked it or not is a whole other story. I'll leave that to you. But I loved it. But one thing you learn about a tent when it's raining is a couple rules. You don't touch the sides. Once you touch the sides, then you get to get the moisture comes in and you are in trouble. And an even bigger rule is you keep the door shut. Well, in the middle of the night, when Dad and I were sleeping, just the two of us in our little tent, someone's foot somehow went through the front door and opened it. Now, to this day, we have not agreed on whose foot it was, but let me just say that I was a bit shorter, and we'll leave it at that. So the front door opened, and we woke up in the middle of the night, literally like 3, 4 in the morning, just in a flood of water. Cold, wet, dark, not really having a great time. Here is where we reach what some might call a fork in the road. You can choose to live in the misery of the situation. It was pretty miserable, I won't lie. It was really wet and cold. And Santa Cruz Mountains, when it's raining, it's not exactly warm, especially the way it might be down here. It's a very cold climate, very damp. You could look at that part and just mire yourself in that sad part of the ruining of our trip. Or you can try to make the best out of your difficult situation. So we got up. We packed up our stuff. We put away our stuff properly in the middle of the morning the best we could. And we did what any brave campers would do. We got in our vehicle and we drove to McDonald's. Yes, McDonald's, everyone. The symbol of hope and light in the middle of a rainstorm. You never imagine how good an Egg McMuffin tastes as a kid when you're in a rainstorm. But we didn't just do that. We took the whole day. We went to the mall after that, which back then was a big deal, right? We just walked around, enjoyed ourselves there. That was something you did back in those days. We didn't have Amazon and all that stuff. And then by chance, the sun actually was coming out in Santa Cruz, and we went down to the beach and enjoyed the beach as well. And it had a great time. Did go home a bit earlier, but had a wonderful time. We transitioned our wet, soggy situation into something good and a moment between father and son that I still remember today. Jesus is saying that even though we will go through hard times, and Lord knows, I believe it's safe to say we are sitting in a hard time, that we are, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this advocate, able to see the good, able to experience the good. Where others might see scarcity, we see the opportunity to share out of our abundance. Where others might be overcome with fear, and don't get me wrong, I know we've all given in to that at times, we remain, however, hopeful people, optimistic people. Not false optimistic, but true hope that rests in the promise of Jesus' presence in the here and now. And when we look at the world and all that's going on, perhaps those of us of faith can see an opportunity for humanity to pause, look at itself and say, what can we do to be better? It says there in the beginning of that gospel narrative, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, one of the other texts that brings this up is Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. I want to read to you. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Well, that last part is important because it reminds us that good and bad will happen to all people. Whether you're a good person, I use that in quotes because I think all people deep within them are good. It's just a lot of bad things happen to people and it can turn them into someone they're not meant to be, who God never meant them to be. But it reminds us that we all experience good and bad times, no matter who we are. And this moment in our time is one where we're all kind of experiencing one together, which is very rare. And I'm not saying that I look forward to the opportunity to do this very often, but I see an opportunity to collectively look at ourselves and honor the fact that we have a chance to love one another more fully right now, to appreciate the things that we're missing, to maybe take more time after the gates are open and we're together again, to celebrate what it means to be together and not take it for granted. Love is the most crucial part of that honoring Jesus' commandment. If you love others, you love God and you do good works because, not because of earning something, but because they flow freely from your heart, then you know Jesus. When you walk the path of being a disciple of Christ, you have an advocate, one who will be there for you no matter what. The rain will fall on you, the sun will bake down upon you, but nothing, as Jesus reminds us, can take us away from the love of the one who redeemed us and the one who created us as well. I love that part too as we look at our first lesson today. Paul, I don't know if you can hear it in the text when I read it, but I think Paul is being a little bit snarky and sarcastic in this text, the way he's kind of going after their unknown gods. But I love the part where he goes here and he says, in him we live and move and have our being. Our being, and Jesus used the phrase, you abide in me, lies in the presence of Jesus. Now he is saying goodbye to his disciples. And there will be people that we say goodbye to in this world. Nothing can take away the grief of that. That is a reality. And right now, across the globe, people are dying prematurely because of a terrible disease. But the reality is every day people are dying as well, because of many injustices and terrible things that happen to them. This is the reality of our world as it is today. But we are people of good news, knowing that this is not what it's all about, that this is just a momentary journey and a longer and bigger picture of who we are as children of the living God. So I hope that you will know today that you have an advocate connecting you to the presence of Jesus right here, right now. If you're having a hard day, he is with you. If you're having a great day, he's with you as well. If you're hunkered down and sheltering in place or social distancing or staying at home safe or whatever terminology you want to use with a whole bunch of family, some of whom you might really want to get away from right now, well, he's with you there too. And hopefully we'll keep you each other from going crazy. No matter what we're doing, where we are, or how life is going for us, there's a promise that Jesus is with us always. And that promise was made true because of one thing, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit. That connection could not exist if Jesus had not shared these words and the Holy Spirit had not existed, because it links us to him forever. So may you know this day that you're never alone. And for those you have said goodbye to, may you know that their presence is with you always. It'll never be the same as having them right there, just as for his disciples, it was never the same for them because they didn't have him right there. But nonetheless, they knew that his presence would be with them. And every time they shared love, it was as if they were sharing it with and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray for that today. Gracious God, may we rest easy on this day. Whatever the news might tell us, whatever unknowns might exist, whatever worrisome moments we might have because of what we've endured the last few weeks, may we just rest easy in your presence, knowing that you are with us always, that you are our friend, our companion, our guide, our savior, and our teacher. May the power of this advocate, this Holy Spirit, just envelop us and embrace us as a parent embraces a beloved child today. And may we know, wherever we are, geographically or in our minds and spirits, that you are with us always. Your name, Emmanuel, means God with us, and nothing can change that. And I pray, Lord, that this will be a good day, a blessed Sunday of celebration of resurrection, of fun and activities the best we can together. And may it just be a day of peace for all of God's children as we endure what we must endure together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And may your light now shine upon us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.